How many of you know you can change your identity? I get my mouth get together in a minute. But how many of you know that when they race horses, they can be, the bloodline is of a champion can be in there. And we got to realize that God wants us to have the bloodline of a champion. And that's what God's, through Jesus, his blood was so powerful. It was the blood of a champion. And that blood flows in our veins. And it can bring change in anything it gets into. And the reason, I just read this article the other day, and it was so good. It brought light on this that I have here. But I'm just going to read this for you. But let's pray before we get started, okay? Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. We thank you for the excitements in the house. We thank you. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are ever present in our midst. That, Lord, you said there's a fullness of joy when you're present. So, Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, we thank you for those that's chosen to get up and come out tonight. Father, they could have been doing other things, but they're hungry for you. And so, Father, we thank you for those that are hungry. You said they shall be filled, or they shall be fed. And so, Lord, we pray for just a supernatural hunger to flow through this church and flow through this city and flow through the state and the United States, Father, and for the world, Lord. We know that people have gotten slack as far as the word's concerned. The hunger has gotten slack in that area. But, Father, we know there's a new hunger being stirred. There's a fresh wind blowing across the land. They're knowing that they can't do it without you. They're finding out that the things they could do amount to nothing compared to you. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are always there. You are always present, no matter what happens, no matter where people go or what they do or what they don't do. Lord, you're always present with open arms, ready to take them back in, Lord, to love them and to work with them, because you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you for it now, Lord. We ask you to speak through me. And, Lord, we thank you to anoint me to speak your word tonight, Lord, that so that we can receive revelation from heaven, that we can understand some things we've not understood, that we could see some things we've not seen. And, Lord, we'd make it plain. Like you said in the book of Hebrews, you said, make it plain, that you made it plain to the people of faith. So, Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to make it plain so that they that hear it can run. They that hear it can run with it. So we thank you for it now, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Oh, how many of you know in Kentucky that's where they have racehorses? That's where they have the champion racehorses. And you realize that one racehorse can cost $600,000. Wouldn't you like to have one? But you know what? Stud fees alone are like $8,000. Think about that. But you know what? It's because they're champions. They're champions. They got something on their insides that's better than some of the other thoroughbreds out there. It's better. And so we got to realize that God's planted something on each one of our insides as children of God, and we have the bloodline of a champion living on the inside of us. That blood, the pastor did an excellent job teaching this morning on the In Christ message about who we are in Christ, because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you're never going to run anywhere. You're never going to go anywhere. You're going to be up and down. One day you're going to be happy. The next day you're going to be sad. You're just never going to accomplish anything until you learn who you are in Christ. It's not about my feelings. It's not about what I think. It's about what he said. And remember, what he says is the end of all strife, right? What he says settles the issues, what it's talking about. If we ever run into anything in our life we don't understand it or can't get a grip on, all you got to do is go back to the Word of God and find out what he says, and it'll settle it. If you really trust God, if you're really willing to listen, it will settle any issue. It doesn't matter what it is, but we have to be willing to let his Word be final authority in our life, right? Final authority. But anyway, this is a story that I've got right here that was so good. It said there was a little girl who was diagnosed with a rare form of lymphoma cancer. After multiple treatments, the doctors concluded that without a bone marrow transplant, she would not live. If a compatible donor could be found, the infused cells of the donor would travel to the bone marrow and initiate new and healthy blood cell production. An extensive search for the perfect match began in her family, friends, community, and even across the United States. But it seemed this donor would never be found. After several months of searching, a possible match was located. What joy there was when Tess confirmed they could proceed with the bone marrow transplant of the healthy donor to this little girl. The process involved killing off her own blood cells prior to introducing the bone marrow into her body. The infused blood cells of the donor would travel to the bone marrow and then initiate blood cell production. Results of this transplant are quite amazing and can be compared to the new birth of someone who receives Jesus as their Savior. The little girl's body was drastically changed forever. Not only was the unseen bone marrow and blood type completely changed and her health restored, but listen to this. But her skin, her hair, and eye color were also forever altered to match that of the one who donated their blood. Isn't that something? Now, if she ever needed an organ transplant in the future, the match would not be found in her natural family, but in that of the donors. I tell you, that's a powerful thing. I have never heard that before. And so it just came back to me when I read that article. I went back over this about our identity change. How many of you know that I've talked about this before, about, you know, in the country way a long time ago, somebody killed somebody, they tied them face to face until they died. And what they did, they absorbed that death. And so what we do, we come face to face, like the pastor was sharing this morning about the in Christ message, in him, in whom message, that when we come face to face with the Word of God like we need to, then it'll transform us. There's something that happens in us, and it changes our identity. So that's why it's so important. And that was, when I read that article, I thought, Lord, that is so good. That it's able to change the eye color. It's able to change the hair color, the skin color. Isn't that amazing? Now, what do you think about that? What if that person was black and the other person was white? It changed that person to the black person. But you know what? It doesn't change the person. The real person on the inside. It's just the outward countenance. And so really what the Word of God does, it wants to go in and not just change the outward physical stuff on our body, but it wants to change something on the inside, and then the outside will take care of itself. See, so many times we talk about, you know, you go fishing for men, you win people over, and then you want to change them on the outside. But it's what the inside, that's the part the inside has to do. You have to let the inside part of them change the outside. And so it's important. So tonight we're going to be talking about this, about a seed of nothing will produce a season of nothing in our lives. The Word of God. You've got to put the Word of God in your heart and in your mouth if you're going to change the season of your life. If you're going to change your life for a purpose, for a long time, then you're going to have a continual flow of the seed planted in your life that will change every season that you confront, every season that you come into. So you make your season or you break your season by what you sow. See, it says over there in Romans 10, it talked about, he said, from the abundance of the, I mean, Romans Oh, let me see. I'm mixing myself up here. But anyway, it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Matthew 12:11. And it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we're abundantly full of is what's going to affect the seasons in our life. If you don't like the seasons in your life and the things that you're having reproduced in your life, go back and check up on what you've been sowing. Because, see, there's no man that's on this planet can lock you up unless you allow them to. See, that's why it's so important to keep the seed sowing. No man can shut you down. No man, human, can lock you up in any form or any fashion unless you allow them to. That's how powerful the human mind is. The human mind, unless it's renewed by the Word of God, which says in Romans chapter 12, unless it's renewed by the Word of God, it has the capability of taking on hurts. It has the capability of taking on sickness and disease. It has the ability to take on anything that anybody wants to put in it. All right. All right. That's why Paul said, guard your heart or your mind, your will, and emotions with all diligence. For out of it flow the forces of life or the issues. How many of you know there's some issues in this life? You can have some issues. That's why he said issues. You ever heard somebody come up and say, how you doing? Well, I got some issues. Well, you know what? You've got them. That's why you've got them. You reached out and took them. You can turn loose of those issues, and they do not have to be issues in your life. I know for a fact you can turn loose of issues. I've had opportunity to experience time and time for things to come into my life that would take hold of my mind to lock me up about issues. But I remember, I thought this morning while the pastor was preaching, I wanted to stand up. You know, tomorrow's Martin Luther King's celebration, the day they celebrate him. I'm glad he's in heaven and he's not on the earth, you know, because he's having a better time than we are down here. But I kept thinking about it. It just kept rising up. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. Most people think that's just something he came up with, but that was a Holy Ghost statement. We're free at last, and we have to maintain our freedom by maintaining our identity. I no longer, like this little girl, she changed. She cannot go back to her parents for anything as far as, you know, her blood transfusion and different things. She has to go back to the donor. Well, as far as we're concerned, we can't go back to our natural side to get what we need. We have to go to the supernatural side to get what we have need of. So if I realize my identity's in Christ, I have to keep plowing that direction. I have to keep feeding from the Word of God on a consistent basis. I can't just go get a magazine that somebody wrote. I can go get it and read it. But if I want to keep my identity flowing in the right direction, I've got to keep feeding on the thing that started it off in the beginning.
That's right. That's right.
And I can't keep listening to everything else that does not feed my spirit. See, we can run as far as we want to. We can go as far as we want to. Or we can stay as shallow as we want to. It's like a pastor's been talking about the dividing line. Who divides that line? You have a choice to divide that line. God set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, you choose. He told us what to choose. Do you think God told us to choose life and life more abundantly so it would make our life miserable? No. Do you know the reason people are having mental problems, and the reason they're having marital problems, the reason they're having financial problems, the reason they're having sickness and disease problems is because of what they're choosing? Because that mind, if you realize the power of our mind and will and emotions, when if somebody can take, you know, wad up a piece of paper and sit there and just think hard enough, just focus on that paper hard enough and it catch on fire, something's going on there. But see, that didn't come from God. That was not the way it was intended. See, that's the way the Tower of Babel was. When man began to reason in his own mind, we're going to build a tower and it's going to reach to heaven. And even God came down himself.
That's right.
And he said they could really do this.
Yeah.
They could do this. I mean, it got his attention. They could do this. That's why he had to stir up their language. He had to change what they were hearing. He had to change it so that they wouldn't keep going the wrong direction. And so sometimes we got to realize that when we come sit under the Word of God, we may be going one direction that we're headed, and then we hear the Word being preached, and all of a sudden we get confused or something. We hear a different language. And that language of the Word of God is there to help us stay on track, to help us stay on track and not get off track and not lose our identity and who we really are in Christ Jesus. See, this is why it's important. It's not just coming to church just so we can say, well, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We had about 105 people today, and, you know, and we had this. You know, it said we're in the book of Acts, not in the book of Numbers anymore,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
I'm telling you, sometimes people are so conscious of numbers and they forget about Acts. You know, so, well, y'all don't have many people coming here. Hey, we got more than we had when we started. It's all in the way you look at it. It's all in the way you perceive something. And so it's important that we realize this, but we're going to talk about this identity change. God wants to take nothing that we think we are and make something out of us. All in the Word of God. It's about God taking just the dirt and making a man out of it. You get that? Making a man out of it. Making a real man out of him. Then he breathed the life. But what did he do to make? He formed that man. He built him up. He held it up. And that man was nothing until he blew the breath of life into him. And he put the spirit into that man. So that tells me it takes the spirit of God to make this outside man be somebody. Do something. Accomplish something. But what are we doing? We're working from the outside in most of the time. We're painting it up, cutting it up. You know, whatever you want to say. We're doing all kinds of stuff to try to fix this outward. And all you got to do is work on from the inside out. I remember T.L. Osborne talking about a young girl that was over in a foreign country, and she looked so bad. She was deformed. Her parents kept putting her down, and so the words that kept coming to her, she was normal to start with, but they kept telling her she was a nothing and a nobody and this, you know, just talking down to her. And then all of a sudden, he said her arms began to twist. She began to come to the place that they were saying about her. And he said her face began to be contorted. I mean, everything began to be twisted. But her parents set her there at home and turned on the TV. And guess who was on the TV? See, that's what they got to realize. God will meet you right where you are. And there was T.L. Osborne coming on there. And if you've ever heard T.L. Osborne, he said, "You're somebody. You're special. You're of God." And she listened to that. Every day she listened to it, and she planned a way to make it from over there in that country to come over here to fly to meet T.L. Osborne. And said one day she came over, and they told him there was a young girl that wanted to meet him. And on his way to his place, he said he was walking across, and he found this penny that had been run over and run over and run over and run over. Said you just could tell it was a penny. And said he stuck it in his pocket, and he got in there with a girl, and he said she was all twisted and bent over, but she was so excited she was over there. Said she was smart enough to get from that country over to this one. You know, but they were telling her she was dumb, that she'd never amount to anything. And so all that was happening. And he said he got sitting there, and she was talking about it. And then he said he realized when he picked that penny up. And he reached in his pocket. And he took that penny out, and he said, "See this penny? It's been run over and run over and run over. But," he said, "if I take it to the bank, it's still got value. It's still got value." And said he looked at her, and he said, "That's what your life is. You've been run over and run over and run over. It looks like you've got no value, but I'm here today to tell you you are most valuable. You are valuable to God." And he said he started putting something into her, and he watched that girl's whole face begin to come straight. He watched her hands that were twisted begin to come undone. And before it was over, she was sitting there totally changed by words, by words. Words are powerful. They are containers. And that's why when we talk about seeds, most people think about gardening seeds, or most people think about money. But what about words that are seeds? Words are seeds. God put himself in the form of words and sent himself to us. And what was the purpose? So that we could say, "Oh, this is the Word of God." You know, we got such cliches today. You know, walk around, "Oh, I love the Word of God. Oh, this is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God's doing nothing in their life." They talk about it, hold it, hug it, stand on it, sit on it, but still remain the same. But you got to let these words come off these pages and get from the outside to the inside. Because, see, that's where it comes from. It's from the inside out. Because he says, we are the garden of God on the inside. And these are the words that he gave us to plant on our garden on the inside. And you know, the one thing I realize is if we were planting more seed, we'd have less work. Do you understand what I'm saying? It said in the Bible, it says the word will go before you and prepare the way for you. How is that going to happen? When I put it in my heart and let it come out of my mouth? But it's not about hearing it one time. It's not about hearing it two times, three times, four times, 100 times. It's about hearing it until it starts working for you instead of you working for it. See, that's where the rest is. When you come into the rest, he said, seek ye to enter into my rest in Hebrews chapter 4. He said that you got to realize that the children of Israel, if you follow through, God was doing everything for them, but yet they wouldn't rest. They walked around in unbelief. I don't know about you, that I can look at my life and see where I came from and see what I used to be like and realize I'm not the same person that I used to be. But the one thing you realize, if you don't keep sowing that word on the inside of you and keep it and keep feeding it on the inside and keep speaking it out of your mouth and putting it back in through the word of your own mouth, then you can go back. It says a sow can go back to the wallow and a dog go back to his vomit.
Yes.
That means to tell me that I can look like I used to if I lay the word of God down. Even though I'm a born-again child of God, I might have been walking into this thing for 20 years. But if I put it down, put it on the shelf and say, I've arrived, then I'm the one that's being fooled. I'm fooling myself. I'm deceiving myself to make myself think that I've arrived, because you will never arrive. It's progressively moving. It says that you will walk in the steps of the faith of the father of your father Abraham.
Uh-huh.
Steps are progressive. That means we're progressively moving. It's kind of like, you ever been to the airport and we're walking, me and Travis, like this, you know, we get in the airport and we have to get all the way down in Atlanta. And we have to be all the way to the other side. And then they got this thing that's running and it helps you make you feel like you're in heaven. And it's just so much fun. You don't want to get off of it because you keep walking, but it seems like you're just moving at a rapid rate of speed. Well, that's what the Word of God will do in your life. You know, here we are, and we're working, we're having to walk, but then all of a sudden, here comes that conveyor belt, is what I call it. That belt out there, you can get on it, and it's like, wow. But, you know, you got to remember, there's some folks that are so... that they stand and just ride. I thought, and they don't even get over so you can pass. I told Travis, the next time I go, I'm going to take me a horn. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. I'm coming through. And then it's like, I could be already at the other end with this thing. Because, see, it's not there to do everything for you. It's there to help you do. It's there to help you get to your destination. And so it's important we realize that God wants to take us from where we are to where he wants us to be, not where we think we ought to be. So many people has got these ideas, well, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do that. But what does God want you to do? What's God's purpose? What's his plan? It's written right in here. It doesn't take much to find it out if you're willing to get in there and find out for yourself. But see, we're too busy letting other people think for us. We're too busy letting everybody tell us what the word says instead of getting in there and finding out what it says for ourselves. And it's all right, preaching. He sent pastors and teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. But he didn't say, let the pastors and teachers, apostles, and prophets do all of it for you. They're just pointers. They're there to point you in the right direction, point you. That's why when I listen to Brother Copeland and I get in there, I get excited. And oh, praise God, hallelujah. And you want to dig in there and find out, I know a scripture where that would fit just perfect with that one. It's like the word begins to come alive. Everything begins to come alive. It gets stirred up on your inside. But everything that happens on the outside comes from the inside. And the inside will produce whatever kind of seed you put in it. If you don't like the production, then go back and tear up the ground. Command a crop failure on those seeds that you've sown. Did you get that? We don't want to believe that we sowed those seeds. Nah, I didn't sow those seeds. Yes, you did. Because nobody can plant in your garden but you. That's your garden. Unless you allow them to plant in your garden. Nobody can put seeds in your garden unless you let them put seeds. And it's by you taking what they said and speaking it out of your own mouth. Isn't it amazing how, you know, kids growing up and in school and peer pressure will come on, and then somebody walk by and just look at someone and say, "You're ugly." Especially at those ages. You know, when you in school, it's like, especially when you're paying attention to what you look like. And then all of a sudden, you'll see their countenance begin to drop. They begin to drag. You say, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" "Oh, nothing. Oh, nothing." But their countenance is not picked up. It's just they dragging. Then finally, you sit there, and if you're like me, I keep picking, picking, picking until I get somebody to talk to me. What is it? The kids used to come in to me, you know, they get something on their mind. And I remember cooking, and they would come in there and get up on the counter and just sit there. Just on the bar right there in the kitchen when I was cooking, just sit there. And I said, "What you want?" "Nothing." And then I'd keep, you know, doing whatever I was doing, and I knew there's something. I thought, "Well, what you want?" "Nothing." I stopped and turned around, and I'm making biscuits, you know, I had throw all over my hands. That was way back. Way back. I had to quit making biscuits so the pastor would have been this big. Because my mother taught me well. I could make a biscuit, honey. Slap your mama down, little boy. And but I remember turning around looking like this, because I like, when I make biscuits, I like to get my fingers in it. Now I put my hands in it. Forget about the gloves. Forget about the spoon. Hey, let's get with it. And I turn around, I look at them like this. What is it you want? You wouldn't be sitting in here if you didn't want to tell me something. And then finally, they'd break down and start telling me what they wanted. They'd tell me, "Well, this one said this about me, or this one said that about me." I said, "So? You don't have to take it. That's right. I didn't tell you you were ugly. I didn't tell you that you weren't smart. Who told you that?" And you know, the number one question in Genesis is, who said? Who said? The Genesis question. Who said? But isn't that amazing? And we don't realize as parents even what we say to our children, not meaning to sometimes, because of what they're already, you know, it's kind of like bending a tree, you know, bending or shaping something. It's like if they're already bent a little bit and you don't say something right, you're going to bend them a little more. Yeah. And but what do you do it with? Well, words. Words. Words hurt and words can heal. Words hurt and words can heal. But you know what? I found out one thing. If I got the Word of God in me, they can't hurt me or heal me. Well, I don't mean not heal me, but I'm talking about hurt me. Let me get that straight. They cannot hurt me unless I open myself up to receive those words. Isn't that what the Bible says when he talks about, Jesus talks about receive your healing? Receive the Holy Ghost? And here we find out we're receiving the wrong thing. We're receiving what somebody said that's a human about us. Or what they thought about us. What a human said. But if that wasn't what God said, he said, "I'm wonderfully and beautifully made. I'm beautiful, I'm bright, I'm sharp." I'm, you know, it, just those kind of things need to be coming up in us. But if we let one word be sown in our garden, just one word, we may be having a wonderful life, feel good about ourselves, and then somebody come along that we have respect for. Maybe it's your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your granddad. So it's just somebody you respect, your sisters, your brothers, whatever, come along, and they say something. And then it's like, you know, you try not to take it, but then all of a sudden it's like, you know, you swallowed that seed and it just went into the dirt. And the earth cannot say it will not produce it. It will not say that. It'll produce fear or it'll produce faith. It'll produce good or it'll produce bad. But everything's a seed. And so what you say, does me being a parent make a difference when I say something to my kids? Yes, it does. Until they know who they are in Christ. If they know who they are in Christ, It don't matter what mama says about whether good, bad, ugly, pretty, whatever it is. It's I know who I am now. And see, this is why it's so important. We can't go back to our natural human beings is what I'm saying. We can't go back. Just like this girl, she can't go back to where she came from now. She's been transformed. She can't go back anymore. I can't go back to the roots that I was given birth by my mom and dad. I've been born from above. I am the daughter of God. Think about it. Some people's like, oh, that's hard to receive. Isn't that what Peter said about Paul? He said the writings of Paul are hard to receive. But you know what? We don't spend enough time with the Word of God to go back and say, listen, I'm the daughter of God. He doesn't make anything ugly. He doesn't make anything that's not beautiful. He makes all things good. He makes all things perfect. But you see that balance right there? It's whatever we choose to take in. That's why Paul talked about buffet your body daily. Buffet. You had to buffet. How you buffet your body? With the Word of God. You shape your own life with the Word of God. You do. You shape your own life with the Word of God. We do. Individually. Point to yourself. I shape my own life. I shape my own life. Nobody can shape my life for me but me. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I know who I am. And so we can say that, oh, I know who I am, but then somebody may say who I'm not. And all of a sudden, it may be one of those days when I'm having a PMS time. You know. It may be one of those days. It may be one of those days we're not having a good emotional time. And have you ever noticed that that's when the enemy zeroes in on you? It's when you're having a day that's not so good. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed. You get out on the wrong side of the bed. That's when you should stay in the bed. I try to tell Travis he needs to leave me in the bed. He hadn't got a clue yet. Go back to bed and get up again. But see, we have those days when we're very sensitive to things. I tell him sometimes, you know, when things come up, I'll tell him, I said, not a good time to talk to me right now. I used to didn't warn him. I used to not tell him. And then he got it, man. And he found out. And he was not expecting it. And all his hair, I could just see his hair just standing back. You know, when the lion roars. But I tell him what I got to do now. I said, it's not a good time to talk to me right now. I'm working on something right now. My feelings are trying to get the best of me, and I'm going to whip these things. And so what I do is I go to the Word of God or to go get some notes that I put wrote down and go that's ministered to me, and I start feeding it. And then I come out of the room, and I say, it's okay now. You can talk to me now. Everything's going to be all right. Remember the prophet said everything's going to be all right. And I can tell you for a fact, everything's going to be all right because I'm calmed down now. But see, everybody deals with those issues, and they deal with them in different ways. Men act like they don't deal with them, but they do. They deal with them too. They just know how to control this a little bit more. And so I just made up my mind one day that I was going to push his to the limit. I'm going to find out how far he'll go, and I did, and I don't want to ever go there again. I do not ever want to go there again. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. I tell you, when you run up against a person, or if you run into a person, and you know, they're very calm, they stay controlled, and you're very easy set off, and it's like, I'm going to find out where his button is. I know he got someplace in there. Well, you better just leave that alone. I mean, I would advise you don't go there. I remember the pastor, somebody was in the church. Pastor, very calm. Oh, my goodness. He's a very controlled person. He is. This person kept pushing his button. And I looked at him one time. I told him, I said, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. because I've done that, and you don't want to do that. And they paid me no mind. And they just kept going over it and over it and over it and over and over. And it's like one thing after another, one thing after another. Just boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, I saw this look come on his face, and he went to the back, and he went to that person, and he said, "I don't want to ever hear you say that again." And he walked out of the room. You know what? He never heard that person say that again. Because there was some authority behind it that they wasn't used to. I'm telling you, that we got to realize that people are different. Always remember this. Everybody's different. And women, you know, there's a time, and thank God we're delivered. Hallelujah. You know, that we start going through a change. I'm warning you men, you need to be prayed up ahead of time. Pray for your wife ahead of time. Don't wait until she gets to be 50 and start praying for her. Pray for her emotional stability before those days. Because you know what? When I changed, when I started going through the change, I thought, wow, this is going to be wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's like, wow. Wow. I need some effects behind me. You see what I'm saying? But it's like all of a sudden I became this wow woman. It was just like, I mean, I do like this. Stretched. That's what I would tell Travis. I said, stretched. And I'd get serious about it, you know. And and the kids even, it's like the kids cleared the house. And I'd look at him after it was over and I said, I didn't mean a thing I did. But he said, you couldn't prove that. You can't prove that to me. But you know what it was? It was just some things were off balance. And I believe, you know, I'm using something natural. And I've learned that there's some things you can do to balance these things out. When you get your hormones out of balance, honey, you've got some trouble somewhere. And then I realized that ladies are not the only ones. Men have unbalanced hormones. And so what you do? So I thought, this is not even fair. This is not even fair. He's supposed to not have unbalanced hormones. Men are not supposed to have unbalanced hormones. They've told me all my life. Now you just wait till you turn 50. You just wait. You know, it's like them telling them when you turn 50, you just wait. You little now, but you wait till you get 50. You gonna
false prophet.
False prophet, that's right. False prophet. But I told Travis, I said I hadn't been believing for this. But you know, somewhere along the line, have you ever heard somebody say it? You just wait. You just wait. You just wait. I mean, I heard that. Sometimes I heard that and I wanted to go. I'll just go ahead and have one right now. Bam! But you don't realize you begin to hear this stuff. You begin to listen to this stuff, and it begins to work on you. And what you do, the first thing you do is, after a while, you begin to say it. You know what I started saying when I had heart flashes? I started saying, "He redeems me from extreme heat." That's in the blessing. That's a curse. He redeems me from extreme heat. And Travis is glad that I'm redeemed from extreme heat. Because that extreme heat could be sweat or it could be mean. It's the truth. But you know what? Anything you practice long enough, you'll do it. If you don't want to do what you've been practicing, quit practicing it. If you don't want to be mean when you're 60, quit practicing meanness right now. When you're young. If you don't want to, you know, be ugly with your mouth, quit practicing it right now. Because you have to practice these things. You have to practice these things. I mean, I was very well practiced up. I did. My daddy had a temper. I had a temper. It was not hard to set me off. It was not hard at all. But you know what? I love my daddy. And so everywhere my daddy was, that's where I wanted to be. I couldn't be everywhere with him, but that would have pleased me fine. I would have followed him on the tractor all day long. I would have walked the fields with him. I would have been out there with the hogs with him. I'd have been with the cows with him. I just loved my daddy. But I didn't realize when I was around my daddy how I was picking up things. Picking up things. But we got to go back to identity. I had to give up my identity in the flesh realm. Have you ever run into anybody say, well, my mom was like that, my dad was like that, and I guess I'll always be like that? You will if you continue thinking that direction and you don't change your identity. And I used to use that for an excuse. I said, my dad was like that, that's why I'm like that. And it's something when you have to take responsibility. When you listen to Brother Copeland, you're going to take responsibility or he's going to beat your brains out. No, I'm talking with the words, what I'm saying. And so it's just like the more I got to hearing it, he was erasing all my excuses. Every excuse I had, he'd put the word out there and it would knock it in the head. But see, isn't it something how we fight for our right to be wrong? We fight for our right to be the way we are. We fight for our right to just, you know, bring all that stuff from our old life into our new life. When in new life, there's peace and joy and freedom. I mean, Travis was probably enjoying it. I came home singing. I was singing. I have been, and that's when I thought of that with Martin Luther King. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. But you know why I was free at last? It's because I had the word pumping. I had the word pumping. The only time you get in bondage is when you keep pumping, you quit putting that word into you. You quit saying it. You quit feeding on it. That's the only time you start acting like a demon-possessed person. And really, do you know a lot of the church is more demon-possessed than they are the Lord-possessed, you know? I'm being honest with you. I mean, some of the meanest people in the world are Christians. And that shouldn't be that way. Some of the most gossips are Christians. Why? It's because we're not feeding on the Word of God and walking in our new identity. And I didn't even get with my... Well, I better read a scripture so they'll know that I've been in the Word today. Turn to 1 Samuel 9:19. I got to show you I know this in the Word. 1 Samuel is about where Saul was coming in as king. He was going to anoint him as king. And let's start with verse 19. Samuel answered Saul, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. Woo! How many of us would like to have a prophet come in and tell us all that's on our mind and say, no, I think I'm busy today? Because, see, we got to be willing. There's more on our mind than we want to admit. And as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be thinking about them, for they are found. And for whom are all the desirable things of Israel? Are they not for you and for all your father's house? And Saul said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? See how he's pulling excuses. And is not my family the least of all the families of the clans of Benjamin? Excuses. Why then do you speak this way to me? Then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the guest room at the high place. Now, he took him into the high place. I mean, that's an important place. And had them sit in the chief place among the persons, about 30 of them who were invited. The other people feasted outside. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it aside. And the cook lifted high the shoulder and what was on it, indicating that it was the priest's honored portion. And set it before Saul. Samuel said, see what was reserved for you. Eat, for until the hour appointed, it was kept for you ever since I invited the people. See, God's always got a plan ahead of you for something special. So Saul ate that day with Samuel. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel conversed with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and about dawn, Samuel called Saul, who was sleeping on the top of the house, saying, "Get up, that I may send you on your way." Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out on the street. Now, this is where I want you to see. And as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But you still stand first, that I may cause you to hear the word of God." See, we've been talking about it's the word that changes us. It's the word of God that changes us. It was the word of God working on him, because he told him he was with the prophet. He was there. He didn't feel like he belonged there. And he was telling him, he brought him to the high place. How many people try to rub shoulders with the prophet if they come in town? How many people would love to get with Brother Copeland and rub shoulders with Brother Copeland? And, you know, but you got to change your mindset. Amen. You got to have a mindset that can speak intelligently to these people. You can't just get with somebody and do like I did. I wanted to meet Brother Hagin at a meeting. I said, "Oh, I'd just love to meet Brother Hagin." And about that time, I was walking like this, and I looked back like this, and turned around, and there was Brother Hagin looking at me. And you know what I did? And he just smiled at me. And I said, "Whoo, I'm glad that's all he said." But we got to realize that those things out there, God will give you the desires of your heart, but you better be intelligent when you get there. Right. You see, we're wondering, why don't God give me this? Why don't God do that? Well, what about being intelligent when it comes to that place? We're wanting to be in the high places, wanting to be exalted, we want to be promoted, but how intelligent are we? And this is what he was saying. He told him, he said this, because he told him he could prosper. He told him that he could eat the finest. But he wasn't intelligent enough to receive it. He kept making excuses. "I'm from the lowest tribe. The lowest people in Benjamite. You know, I'm a Benjamite." And he said, then Samuel, look at verse chapter 10. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said. He paid him no mind. We need a whole gallon of oil to pour on some people's head. "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his heritage Israel? When you have left me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys you sought are found, and your father has quit caring about them and is fine.'" The donkeys you sought are found, and your father has quit caring about them and is anxious for you, asking, 'What shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there, and you will come to the oak of Tabor, and three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there." Did you hear that? Going up to Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin bottle of wine. A lot of people would like to go there with a bottle of wine, wouldn't they? You'd be surprised how many people drink in the church. "They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand." Now listen to this. "After that, you will come to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is. And when you come to the city, you will meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre, before them prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you will show yourself to be a prophet with them, and you will be turned into another man." Now, what I want you to see here as I'm closing this down, I hadn't finished everything, but I got to close down tonight. But he took him, he told him, he began to expose him to the things of God. He began to expose him to where God wanted him to be, but yet even though he made excuses, he wouldn't listen to those excuses. You know, if we as pastors listen to all the excuses people have, we'd quit and gone home a long time ago. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people's got so many excuses. We were just down in a meeting, it was down at Clyde's, and then there was a lady down there, and she wanted me to call her. And so I didn't want to call her, but I called her anyway. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I don't want to call. But I called her, and you know what she did? All she did was produce excuses. Why I can't do this, why this is happening in my life, why this is not happening in my life, and just going over and over and over. And all I could do, I just kept putting the word into it. I kept putting the word in there, kept putting in the word. And this is kind of like he was doing here. He just kept making excuses that the smallest tribe and, you know, I'm the lowest and all this kind of stuff. But he kept putting something in him. And that's what I had to keep doing with this lady. I kept speaking. Even though she'd say something down, I'd say something up. She'd say something down, I'd say something up. And then one time we were sitting there eating that night, and she began to say something, and I heard what come out of her. You know what? If you learn to be quiet and let somebody talk long enough, you'll find out why they're where they are. And I was listening to her, and she said it was something going on in her family, and all of a sudden she made this statement. She said, well, I know that God just did this, so this and this and this. And when she said that, it was like, that was enough. And I don't use it. I'm not out there trying to correct everybody and do everything. I've been around this woman for a long time, you know, down at Clyde's and different places and all. And we've gone to Haiti together, and we became good friends. And so I felt like that had an interest, and I told her, I said, you know what, I got some tapes by Keith Moore on A Thankful Heart. And he talks about if you don't have a thankful heart, you walk in darkness. And I said, if you're not thankful with everything God's given to you, if you're not thankful for this and thankful for that, you're walking around in the dark. You can't see where you're going. And so I went over some of those things, and then I stopped, and she said, did you think I said that God caused this? And you know, any other time when I used to, I would have said, oh no, I really wasn't thinking that. Lied between my teeth. I turned around and looked at her and I said, yes, that's exactly what I thought you said. And that's exactly what she did say. But see what it was, she wasn't hearing what she said. She didn't hear a thing she said. But you know what happened the next day? We got up, we left and everything. And the next day she called Brother Clyde and said she wanted to talk to me. And then she wanted to know about those tapes. See, some people, you could say something to like that and they'd close up. They'd be mad at you, don't want to talk to you. You know, who do you think you are? And all this kind of stuff. But you know what? That lady was smart enough that when I hit her hard enough and it shook her, she realized that that was what was going on in her life. She realized that. And when I say I hit her hard enough, I just release words. Because everybody around her was going along with her. And just keeping her calm because she was going through a rough time in her life. Her marriage was suffering. Her kids were suffering. Finances were suffering. You know, and most people would just say, well, you know, we don't want to make it any harder on it. Hey, what are you trying to do? Send her to hell? Are you trying to get her there early? God didn't call us to stroke. I like what Brother Osteen said. He said, if I'm rubbing the cat the wrong way, tell the cat to turn around. Yeah. Think about that. It's no time to sit back and let people keep believing what they are believing if they're believing a lie.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that you go out and try to change everybody you've just run in contact with. I tried that when we first got born again and just got to beat the snot out of me. I tell you, it's just like everything else around me. You know, everybody was like against me. And I thought, I can't understand why everybody don't like me. But you know what it was? I hadn't got it applied to my life like I needed it. And I was trying to straighten them out. See, I can't straighten anybody out until I straighten Kalita out. So why should I go there and try to help you out in that situation when I got work to do on me? But you know, when you make a covenant with somebody and you spend time with somebody and they keep coming back and keep coming back and keep asking and asking and asking, you say, Lord, how much longer shall I tarry with this person? You know, we have to get a little spiritual talk going on here. How long shall I tarry with this person? But that's the first time I'd really ever let her have it straight. Because I've told her some things and everything, but I've kind of sugar-coated it a little bit, you know. You know what I'm talking about? But this time it's like when she asked me, I said, no, that's exactly what you said exactly what I thought you said. So you see, we got to realize that the Word of God in our heart and in our mouth, going from the inside out, is going to change our identity.
That's right.
I can't identify with my daddy anymore. I can't use my daddy as an excuse. I can't use my daddy as, you know, he was timid, he was bashful, but he had a bad temper, and hide behind that anymore. You know, talk about hiding behind your mama's apron strings. I can't hide behind those things anymore, and you can't hide behind things that you've been dealing with either.
Right.
It's time to break or cut the umbilical cord.
Yes.
In the realm of the spirit, and realize you're connected to somebody who is all power. You're connected to God, the King of the universe.
Right.
You're connected to Him. Why not? And you know what I realized? He don't have a temper. He's very controlled. He's very controlled. And sometimes I'm sure He would like to just say, boom, and just start over again. But you know what? He's looking for a family. He's looking for a family. He wants a family. He don't love our ways, but He loves us. But see, if you really love somebody, you won't let them keep running till they run off the cliff.
Right.
If you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. Just like this lady, she told me, she said, my son is drinking. He goes on the weekends. He wasn't raised like that. And then before it was over, she told me that she drank some beer every now and then. You see what I'm saying? And how long has she been drinking? Has she been doing that in front of him? So he thinks it works good for his mama. It worked good for him. Now he's drinking more than his mama did. And so I told her, I said, you know, I did a study on that because my daddy would be like from good to evil, drinking one beer. He'd just flip him just like that. I hated that. I did a study on wine. I did a study on beer and whiskey and all this kind of stuff. And you do a study, and it says it's a snake's bite. Said it bites like a snake. And you know what it does? It controls this thing because it's a drug. It's a form of a drug. And so that's what I told her. But you know what she said? Oh, I know that. I know that. And I said, no, you don't know that. You don't know that. If you knew that, you'd cut it off. You see what I'm saying? If you knew. See, we talk about a lot of things that we say we believe. But if we really believe those things that we say we believe, we would do them. We would do those things. And just like her, she said, I know that. No, you don't. She got real quiet after that. Real quiet. And you know what she did? And I said, well, I got to go. And she said, I want to let you know I love you and I appreciate you and thank you. I'll get those tapes. And I said, that'll change your life if you'll listen to it. And if you can get your son listening, it'll change his life. Because the Word of God's a seed. A seed. See, she was talking her problems the whole time, talking her problem the whole time, talking her problem. It's easy to talk your problem. It's a challenge to keep the Word in your mouth. That's what faith's all about, keeping the Word that's in this book in your mouth. Keeping it there. Because the enemy, he's after your tongue. If you ever get under pressure, the devil's after your tongue. If you ever get somebody angry with you, the devil's after your tongue. And it's what you do with your mouth. In the first few minutes of pressure, that determines your end result. See, I had to learn that. I learned that the hard way. You don't want to learn it the hard way. And I still work on it. Because the Bible says the tongue cannot be tamed. But it didn't say the Holy Ghost couldn't help you tame it. It's about going in, talking over here and talking over here. Murmuring and complaining, God hates it. Yeah, 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 over here, and yeah, 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 over here, and yeah, 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 over here. Whisperers, the Bible says, separate his chiefest friends. A whisperer. Somebody that whispers. Talking over here and talking over here. Saying this and that and the other. See, God has got a plan for us to change our identity. To change. We have the bloodline of a champion on the inside of us. My eyes are not like my daddy's or my mama's anymore. They're like my father's. My face don't look like my daddy and mama's anymore. It looks like God's. Do you see what I'm saying? My skin don't look like my mom and daddy's anymore. It looks like God's.
Yeah, that's good.
And every time as I put more word in, I'm changing. I'm changing.